What a wonderful event that was yesterday evening, the sunset service. An evening of eating together and fellowshipping and worshiping together and getting to know each other better and building relationships. And that's our theme for the next few weeks, is building relationships in Christ. It's our vision statement here at North Leamington, and it's on the top of every bulletin. I don't know if you noticed that. Right at the top there, every week, growing relationships in Christ. And I don't know how often you notice that, but that's our vision statement here at North. And so we want to spend a bit of time the next few weeks talking about that and perhaps imagining some of what that could mean. As I read that vision statement, a number of questions come to mind. Which relationships are we growing? Those inside the church? Those outside with the community? Guests that come? Our family members who are part of the congregation? What contributes to those relationships? What barriers are there to relationships? What includes and excludes people from the community and from relationship? What makes those relationships healthy? What does it mean to grow relationships? And what difference does it make that we are growing relationships in Christ? Lots of questions, and I'm certainly not going to answer them all today. Let me start with a story. This was from back when I was living in Egypt between 1998 and 2000. And while I was there, I experienced the warm welcome of Egyptian hospitality. And I experienced that in many, many different ways. And it was wonderful to experience that hospitality and to feel welcomed and to build relationships there. But one of the ways that I felt that welcome was every time I walked down the street, any street at all in Cairo. And people would call out to me, "Welcome in Egypt." And children especially would constantly be calling out that welcome, "Welcome in Egypt." And at first, that was wonderful, and I felt so welcomed in Egypt. For the first few weeks. But 3 years later, as I continued to be welcomed in Egypt every time I walked down the street, I got a little bit tired of it. And what had first seemed so welcoming gradually became a clear sign that I was an outsider. Anyone that I met on the street immediately saw me as different. I would never and could never be fully part of this community. It didn't matter how long I was there, how well I learned the language, how much I understood the culture. My physical appearance marked me as an outsider, and I always would be. I know people who have lived in Egypt for 40 years, married an Egyptian, had their children there, and are welcomed in Egypt every single day. It's amazing how even a welcome can be a dividing wall. And I find that really interesting. I would venture to guess that most of us have had the experience of feeling like an outsider. For whatever reason, we don't feel fully part of it. We feel on the edges of the community. We feel excluded, whether that was intentional or not. We don't have the right lingo. We don't have the right family or friends. We don't get invited to the event. Perhaps we have our own internal limits or barriers that keep us on the edge. Perhaps we choose to be on the edge of community. Perhaps someone made a comment that made us realize that we weren't quite at the center. Perhaps we have a different color of skin. Sometimes we're insiders, and that generally feels good, unless we realize that someone else is being excluded. As we consider building relationships in Christ, I think it's important to consider, how are people included and excluded, even in unconscious ways, from our community? What is there here at North that creates barriers to relationships? What does it look like to build relationships with those who see themselves on the outside? How do we draw them more centrally into the community? Insiders and outsiders. Inclusion and exclusion are themes that are present throughout history in every community, every human community. They're present in any group, in any society. Who's in and who's out? Who's included, who's excluded? What are the barriers, borders of the community? How do you become part of the community? Who does the community relate to? In terms of our vision statement, who do we grow relationships with? And those questions are very much part of the biblical narrative. These are the questions in these two texts that were read this morning from Ezra and Isaiah, very clearly, very different from each other, with very different visions for community. And these two, as different as they were written to the same community at the same time, addressing the same situation, the return from exile. So this is the situation. 583 BC, the first Judean refugees returned to Jerusalem from exile. 48 years earlier, Judah had been bloodily conquered, the population decimated, and the religious, political, and intellectual elite had been sent to Babylon. And there they'd been there for 50 years, adjusting to that new reality. Maybe the shouting yesterday evening affected my ability with words here. Many of them had settled in. They'd had children. They'd started to learn new ways. They'd become culturally and economically invested in Babylon. And then Babylon was conquered by the Persians, and the people of Judah were allowed to return home to their homeland. And some of them did. Most of them had lived their entire lives in Babylon and were returning to a home they knew only through stories, traditions, and the memories of their elders. And the homeland itself had changed dramatically. Jerusalem's walls had been destroyed, the temple destroyed. It was a land filled with poverty and despair. And the people who remained had largely forgotten their faith and their traditions. Other peoples had moved into that land. Very few of the locals welcomed these exiles. That long-awaited and glorious return was in fact very difficult, and the imagined restoration of a Davidic kingdom didn't happen. And in that time, they became known as Jews for the first time, and somehow they had to rebuild and reorganize life in a different environment. And they spent the next 100 years trying to establish an identity. What does it mean to be people of God in this new and unfamiliar territory? And who could be part of that community? Who could be included in that? Was it only the people who had been in exile and returned? Or could they include others? Could they include the Samaritans? Could they include some of these other foreigners that had moved in? What was the criteria for membership in this group? Who were they to build relationships with? And Ezra and Isaiah had very different visions for that new community and for the relationships to build. Ezra was all about identity and had a very specific idea of what that identity should be and who should be part of it. He demanded, as you saw in that text, that all foreigners be excluded from the community. All marriages between Jews and others needed to be terminated. It was a very, very, very clear creating boundaries around the community. And I'm not going to reread it because I have trouble with that text. Ezra decided they needed to exclude and stop relating to those who were different. Unity and identity were in being the same. You relate to those who are like you. You build relationships with those who are like you. Kind of sounds familiar to us in our current political reality, and that of the United States. I remember when I was in Indiana in 2007, I was working as a chaplain intern at the Goshen Hospital in Indiana, and I visited a woman who had strong opinions about things. "Read this," she said, pointing to the newspaper that she was reading, an editorial in the Goshen News that she wanted me to see. It was, you know, I walk into the room, we don't know each other. She says, "Read this." And this particular editor that was writing this was convinced that Goshen was in quick decline as a result of the influx of Hispanics into the community. The woman I visited was totally on his side. She was worried about how the community was changing, how there are now people in the community who didn't speak English. how health care was becoming more expensive because of their presence, how the schools were in decline as a result of the influx of immigrants. Things were no longer like they used to be. Things were definitely on the way down. She even argued on religious terms, "I don't think this is right, and I don't think Jesus would have thought so either," she said. I think we as humans sometimes have a discomfort or even fear of difference. Not just that woman. I have to admit that I'm most comfortable with people who are like me, who think in similar ways. Remember when I lived in Egypt, I had a great time with Egyptians. I developed some very good friendships with the Egyptians. And yet there were some times when I felt the need to hang out with my MCC colleagues. People who thought something like me, people who I could more easily express myself to. Of course, even within that group, there were plenty of differences. Even within Canadian society, even within the Canadian Mennonite Church, there are those who are different from me, who I have trouble interacting with. Difference is so difficult. And that's what the people of Israel were experiencing in their return from exile. Fortunately, Ezra came to their rescue and told them they didn't have to interact with people who were different from them. In fact, they outlawed difference. No diversity for them. For them, unity was about sameness, about excluding anything that might challenge their way of thinking or being. Build walls, physical, religious, ideological. That was the way to go. But I'm not convinced. The God who created heaven and earth and the amazing variety in our world and in our peoplehood can't be afraid of diversity. Our congregation of North Leamington United Mennonite Church can't be afraid of diversity. I don't think we want to be left hanging our hat on Ezra. Isaiah is speaking to the same situation, the same side. And he writes completely differently, opposing Ezra. I think maybe this should be moved. Isaiah is a prophetic voice bringing new ideas and fresh ways of seeing the world and challenging tradition. While Ezra builds up walls of tradition to protect the core identity, Isaiah breaks them down. Ezra rejects all foreigners who might taint the blood of the community. And Isaiah throws the doors open to include not only the foreigner, but the eunuch, groups of people who had been explicitly rejected in the Torah. He says, "To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths," and I guess it's important to note, it's welcome, there's still a center. "To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give them within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. Give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister him, to love the name of the Lord, to the foreigners, to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel. I will gather others to them besides those already gathered." What a shockingly inclusive vision for these returned exiles. An astonishing perspective given that context. Ezra is trying to maintain the identity of these people and drawing these barriers. And Isaiah is saying, "No, welcome them in." Ezra says, "Grow relationships with those who are like us." Isaiah says relationships must include those who are different, even those we might scorn. They're part of the community if they worship God and strive for justice. Ezra's vision for who we grow relationships with really is much easier. Build relationships with those who are like you, have the same background as you, think like you. That's what social media encourages us to, right? Feeds us to show us more and more what we want to see. We want to see that? Okay, I'll give you more of that same stuff to read. It's what our neighborhoods, which are often monocultural, monoclass, they teach us. I have a neighbor, a former Baptist pastor, who I really thought I should get along with well. And he has a lot of trouble with the fact that we have some international workers who have moved in across the street. That's not the neighborhood he signed up for. He would love to be able to do something about it. He wants to call the city because they have too many vehicles on the road. Even our churches are sometimes filled with people who are really all kind of the same. It's so much easier to grow relationships with people who are like us. And growing those relationships isn't bad. It's good to grow those relationships. But Isaiah points us beyond that into the challenges and joys of difference, of including in our relationships and in our community even those who have traditionally been left out. In many ways, Ezra would be easier. But I think Jesus comes down on the side of Ezra, of Isaiah. And we're familiar with some of those stories. In fact, yesterday we talked about Jesus in the boat, in the storm and so on. He's crossing over to the other side of the sea, to Gentile territory, to those who are different. That's where Jesus is going. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's the Samaritan, the foreigner, who's the hero. And there's the story of the Samaritan woman by the well to whom Jesus offers living water. When Jesus brings the disciples to the other side, they meet a Canaanite woman. And Jesus at first says that he was sent only to the house of Israel. And he seems to be taking the side of Ezra. And then the discussion between the two, it becomes clear that what's needed is not a particular heritage, but only faith. And Jesus goes on to heal her daughter and then heal others in that district outside of Israel proper. And then he feeds 4,000 people among the Gentiles, not among the Jews. Among the Gentiles, he feeds the 4,000. That's where he goes to for part of his ministry. He ministers to those who are in and those who are excluded. The disciples themselves are not all alike. There are fishermen, poor fishermen and tax collectors, poor and elite. There are zealots, those who want to throw out the Romans, those who want to throw them out violently, and those who are much calmer with their beliefs. Jesus was building relationships with a diverse group, even within his disciple group, and encouraging their interaction with each other as well. So where does that all leave us here at North Leamington United Mennonite Church? We aren't the most diverse crowd in the world. We aren't monocultural, but there is a pretty strong Russian Mennonite vibe. There are strong family ties within this community, and I think all of that is good. There are significant strengths that grow out of these things. But there are also elements that are challenging for those who don't fit in with that background. How do we celebrate who we are and invite people into that? People who maybe don't have that same background. And how do we invite them not just to the edges, but into the center? How do we individually and collectively expand the circle of our relationships? Within our communities, outside of the church, how do we work against the growing xenophobia that's part of our communities? In my own neighborhood, one of the international workers seems to be open to relationship. And we've started having a relationship. We talk fairly regularly. He's helped me out with something. We want to help out each other out with things. I intend to continue to try to grow that connection. I may even try to grow my relationship with my retired Baptist neighbor, although that one will be challenging. May we, here at North Leamington United Mennonite Church, be a community that pays attention to relationship barriers. Not the healthy boundaries that are really important for relationship, but the barriers, the things that exclude people from relationship. May we be a community that expands the connections that we have. May we be a community that grows all kinds of relationships. all kinds of relationships in Christ. Amen.